The purpose of the vidui in front of a tzaddik that we've been discussing is for the purpose of helping the mizvada, the person who's struggling, reframe their experience or the perception of themselves and be able to find and glean something positive and have some, you know, some sort of encouragement. If that's the case, then the tzaddik who's engaging in this kind of a procedure, an activity of engaging, you know, and receiving this kind of a vidui, would have to be gifted in having the ability to help people find redeeming qualities in themselves and in every situation. And that's why the Mishnah says, Mesechta Sanhedrin, that Eimo Shivim B'Sanhedrin, we don't put on a Sanhedrin, a Talmud Chacham, unless he knows how to be Matar or Sheretz. Tosfos asks, why do we need him to engage in the in the intellectual exercise, which seems pointless, of knowing how to be Matar or Sheretz? Sheretz is Tummy. The Torah says it's Tummy. Why do I have to, you know, make the intellectual, you know, somersaults to try and be Matar? It's pointless. So that's the question Tosfos asks. The Marsha says, no, it's important for the dying to be able to see even positive things in those who are completely guilty, because otherwise you can't be completely impartial. And you won't be able to be mezakeh, you know, you won't be able to argue for the merits of a person's case unless, even when things seem bleak, that you can somehow find something that's redeeming. So even over here, where the Torah tells us that it's prohibited, you have to try, and the Talmud Chacham has to be able to find, if he wants to serve as a dayan, and judge people, he has to be able to see the positive qualities in everyone, and even the positive attributes in every situation. Because everything, even if it's Tamei Mamish, has Nitzaytus of Kedusha. That's the Gemara Masechta Schulin. The Gemara tells us that whatever the Torah prohibited, the Torah permitted something kenegdoi, opposite it. Right? The Gemara says Chelev is the prohibited fats in the animal. Kenegdoi that we have the permitted fats. They're prohibited fats, they're permitted fats. It has the same flavor. Or even pork, the Gemara says, is permitted in the form of the shibuta fish. The brains of the shibuta fish have the same flavor as pork. So Kedusha Slavi writes that why is the Gemara so adamant that everything that's prohibited also has a permitted iteration? Because everything has nitzaytus of Kedusha in it. And even that which is completely usur and tameh, the Gemara is teaching us that that has positive qualities, and certainly in judging people and helping people see, you know, that in themselves, we have the Talmud Chacham. If he wants to engage in this activity of receiving a kind of vidui or participating in that endeavor, has to have that capability. The Mishnah says in Masechta Savos, Havidanas Kol Adam L'Kaf Sechus. What that means is be able to see, even when a person is guilty, even when a person did a mistake, to be able to help them find kind of positive qualities in what happened. However, Rabbi Nachman continues in the Torah Dawud, and he argues that another critical ingredient to the Talmud Chacham being successful in this regard and helping people reframe their experiences and perception themselves is you have to have an exaggerated anivos. And he cites Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was the Anav Mikol Adam, but even Moshe Rabbeinu, in last week's parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu was lobbying on behalf of Klal Yisrael in the wake of the Chetah Egel, he says, "Im tisa chatosam haKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to bear their sin, fine, you'll forgive them. Im ayin mecheni namisifach shekosafta, erase me from the Torah that you're writing." What was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to accomplish? Out of spite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem, if you're going to exclude me, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, then exclude me from your book. I'm taking away my royalty. Like, what? What did he mean to accomplish? There's many different explanations. Many different explanations. We've offered some in the past. However, Rabbi Nachman has his own take. Rabbi Nachman says, if you want to be able to help people achieve a forgiveness, you have to find positive qualities. And when he was lobbying Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, and serving as their representative, he was, in order to help them achieve a kapara, he had to present the positive case to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu is, if I'm not able to present the positive case to compel you or to convince you that the Jewish people are worthy of forgiveness, then I'm not living up to my task. And you know why? That is because he must have had too much of an ego, too much gaiva, even from Moshe Rabbeinu, without him he called him. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, take away all my name recognition here in the Chumash. Because if my name appears, it's natural, it's a human tendency when you hear your name to kind of feel props, like to get a lift out of it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, got something out of it. So he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I can't successfully lobby for the Jewish people, it's because I have too much gaiva myself, so remove my name. And then, if I have that level of anivos, I'll be able to help the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu personifies this in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, even, you know, after his death, kind of dispersed into the Jewish people, into all of humanity. We mentioned the other day, when we were learning Rabbi Likutei Maran, the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that when an Amora said something that was correct, they used to say to him, Moshe Shapir Kamarta. Moshe, you said good. His name wasn't Moshe. But they used to say, Moshe Shapir Kamarta. Why? Because you're a Gilgal, Moshe Rabbeinu. Every time a Chacham is somehow an Itzot of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or the Gemara says, the Pasuk says that after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yada Ishes Kfuraso Ad Hayoyim. Nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. He dispersed. He's gone. Where is he? In everyone, in everywhere. So Rabbi Nachman writes that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hispashtos gashmis. He dispersed. He's everywhere because he had no ego. So because Moshe Rabbeinu had no ego, he had no gaiveruah, so after he died, he was dispersed throughout the Jewish people. Yeah, that we have a little nitzitz from Moshe Rabbeinu that serves to inspire us and help us be mechaven lamito shel Torah. But that was what Moshe Rabbeinu represented, was that he kind of dispersed and therefore blended in with the Ein Sof. Blended in with the Ein Sof himself. And therefore, when a person does vidu in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, or Talmid Chacham, who's standing in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's key when you're doing vidu before the Ein Sof. There's no ego. So there are those that interpret it again. This is getting really close again to uncomfortable territory. That if you do vidoy in front of the Talmud Chacham, who has no ego at all, is like Moshe Rabbeinu, who has pashtus gashmis, he's dispersed, physically, and therefore blends in to become part of the Ein Sof, part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's completely limitless, and incomprehensible to us. So then it sounds like the vidoy is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and taking the form of the Talmud Chacham. So there's a contrast that was printed against this whole notion in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman called Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. A few years ago in Eretz Israel, it was put out by Rabbi Yehuda Silman, who's a dayan in Bnei Brak, and Sariel Rosenberg, also a dayan in Bnei Brak. They didn't write who they were attacking, but it was clearly attacking this whole Breslover notion that you can do vidui before a Talmud Chacham and daven to the tzaddik and all these kinds of things. Yeah, said the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they argue, what are you talking about? The Rambam writes in the Ikrei Emuna, Loi Levada, Roi Les Palo. We don't do vidui before a Talmud Chacham, Kiyu, he's the Ein Sof, some sour connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is no such thing. And they picked on this Nekuda Befrat, this Torah Dawud. What is this? What is it? Doing vidui before a Talmud Chacham was like embodiment of the Ein Sof, Chas V'Shalom. How can you say such a thing? If their contention is correct, so I share their condemnation. I'm saying if their interpretation is correct, yeah, I share their condemnation. But maybe Rabbi Nachman means something else. He doesn't mean that the Talmud Chacham, by having no ego, somehow blends in with the Ein Sof, and therefore by doing Vidu before the Talmud Chacham, doing Vidu before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that is what he means, and they're right. I don't know. And in which cases, you can't say this. It's untenable. But maybe what he means is something else. In order for the Talmud Chacham to be able to help the person reframe their situation, he has to excel in anivus. Why? There's a famous comment from Nor Vashemesh in Parshat Voschanan. Nor Vashemesh comments in the Pasuk there in Parshat Voschanan. Anoichi oimed bein Hashem uvein Echem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am standing between you, the Jewish people, I'm standing between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Nor Vashemesh, Anoichi, the ego, the Anoichi, stands between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Pasuk also in Parshat Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu wakes up from his dream at the Makom HaMikdash. He says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anoichi lo yadati. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in this place, and I did not know. What prevented him from recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place here? The Anoichi, the ego. Why does an ego stand between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam? How come I can't be Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the ego? The answer is because when I'm focused on myself, I'm completely self-absorbed, and I measure everything in terms of my own kind of successes and failures, it's hard to see beyond myself. So there's a lot of things that might be happening in terms of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or other things, but it's just hard for me to recognize that because I'm so wrapped up in myself. In order for a person to see the broader picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world, you kind of have to step out of yourself. You have to lower your ego and not be as self-absorbed. And certainly, in order for a person to help someone else deal with their own failures, their own trauma, I have to be able to step out of myself. I have to lower, remove my own ego from the picture. Because the more that I'm stuck, self-absorbed in my own ego, A, I won't be able to listen to you because I push it, don't care. And B, I'm going to judge what happens in your life by the standards of what happens in my life. And what's a success for me will be a success for you. What's a failure for me will be a failure for you. So even if I say to you, well, this is good, when this person is suffering, Leilenu, that's cruel. That's mean. What do you mean this is good? Person's suffering. How could this possibly be good? Or even if I tell you it's good, when you fail, the person does an Avera, then I'm enabling him. I'm telling you, you're doing an Avera, and that's good. In order for me to help this person process it and reframe it in a positive way, I have to look at it from his perspective. A, I have to have the patience to listen to him. And B, I have to be able to see it in a different lens than my own experience. So in order to do that, you have to remove yourself from the ego. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely removed from the equation. He viewed it, therefore, from the perspective of Kaiso, and he could see the bigger picture of the Ein Sof. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's what it means. And then I'm able to see things, you know, in a different way and able to help a person find the positive qualities, either in themselves or even in the situation that happened, by looking at it from an entirely different angle. I think that's what he means. And even if a person doesn't, you know, is a little uncomfortable doing Vido before a Tzaddik or Talmud Chacham, I certainly understand why that might rub sensibilities the wrong way. But I think it's important to engage in this process ourselves. We can do this for ourselves. We can self-medicate in that way. A person has a frustration, a failure, difficult experience. It's helpful to kind of step back, to try and view it from a different perspective, and find the positive qualities in ourselves. Rebuild our own self-esteem.
Can we redefine Vido?
Huh?
Could we redefine Vido?
As a process of self-introspection.
Right, instead of being the Vido that we...
I don't even think that's a redefinition. That might be part of the original definition, correct. But it's a cheshbon ha-nefesh. But a cheshbon ha-nefesh doesn't mean banging myself and, you know, and only giving malchus to myself. It also means picking up myself and seeing, oh, I did this, I did that, and like the vidoy maisa, you know, asisi as kol asher tzivisoni, that part of that process is seeing yourself from a different perspective, and even if there is something that's difficult, you know, perhaps looking at it in a different way and trying to find a positive quality, and that's what Rabbi Nachman talks about. If you are able to do that, you transition from seeing things in the perspective of Olam Hazeh, where there's Dain Ha'emes and Atoiv Ha'meitiv, and then be able to see things from the perspective of Olam Haba, where Kol Ma'ad Avid Rachmanu L'Tav Avid. All right.